Welcome to DOX Book Chat, where we are going to discuss everything about the current reinvention of Marvel's Merry Mutants. My name is Fox. You can find me at AgentFit77 on Twitter.
My name's Chongo. Oh, Juan, actually. But I go by ChongoATX on all my socials.
And I'm Almas. I'm Unworthingtons on Twitter.
And I'm Rodders. On Twitter, I'm at Rod Bunny Slay.
Okay, everybody, this has been a pretty big week for Dawn of X. We got our, I think Wolverine's technically our first Wave 2 book.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah,
but
think
we're
so.
gonna save that awesomeness for last discussing, because we have two other fantastic books. Okay, let's start talking about Marauders.
All right, with Marauders, this was issue number 9?
No, not 9.
This is issue number... Ooh, I should know that. Let me go back. Hold on. Yes, issue number 8, technical difficulties. Never mind. Sorry about that. This is issue number 8 of Marauders. We first start off with a tour of the children to Mars with Emma Frost and Christian Frost. And then she gets in contact with Bishop telepathically, thanks to the Cuckoos, and he is telling her that they have found Kate's body in the ocean because he's on a salvage ship. And then she, you know, has a little breakdown. She's like, to me, my marauders. Then we cut to Bishop on the ship, and then another crew member finds her body. He takes them down. He confirms that Kate is, in fact, dead. But he also sees some vines on her body. He's like, that's curious. So he takes some of those off. He puts in his pocket for later, maybe to bring them back out dramatically later. We'll see. And then later, the ship gets crashed into an iceberg. And we're like, man, that must be Iceman. A lot of the crew members are like, it's just Iceman. It's not Magneto. We have nothing to worry about. Little do they know, Iceman loves Kitty, or Kate. And now, he thinks she is dead. So he breaks in, calls them murderers. He thinks they murdered her. And he wants to kill them. But you know, on Krakoa, the law is kill no human. So he gives them frostbite, chops off a few of their arms, and tells them, if you ever mess with mutants again, this is going to happen to you. And then Bishop is like, dude, that's too much. So he teleports them out. And then Iceman goes back to, they go back to Emma. And Emma's like, well, I need to tell Storm before we go any further. So Emma and Storm have a little interaction. She's like, I told you this would happen when you brought me together. I mean, when you brought us all together, every time you come into the X-Men's life or any mutants' lives, disaster always happens. And then Emma's like, well, I thought I put two Omega Mutants on the team, so I thought she'd be safe. And Storm is like, you know, she wants to call us something else, but we're not going to say that word. And she slaps him across the face. And man, that's been all over the internet this whole week. And it's such a glorious page because, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people have wanted to slap Emma in these comic books. So after that, they do have a little heart to heart. And we've had a lot of heart to hearts in this whole Dawn of X. And this has been one that I've been looking forward to and hoping would happen between Emma and Storm, because they've always had something. And she gave her the memory to make Storm feel better for the moment. She gave Storm the memory of Scott coming back and Storm announcing it. And her saying, I'm going to give you this feeling so she can feel the hope that she had that day. Like, this is what Krakoa is. This is what we're trying. This is what we're achieving. And she's like, at that moment when you announced Scott was back alive, that's when I felt it. And that's why I know we're going to get Kate back. So that's a touching moment. And then after that touching moment, we go back to Shaw and Son. They're having a celebratory dinner because they got the drugs out and the mutants in. And they're working together and haven't killed each other yet. And Shaw is like, well, I also have another surprise. I brought the Fenris Trent. Is it Fenris?
Fenris.
Fenris twins in. We haven't seen them in a while. And that's definitely a shock. And he says, he knows that they, well, they said they'd rather wear white than black. He said, you're my new black knights. And he's like, well, since you like white, we can maybe have that arranged, but they have to prove yourself to me first. And lastly, well, almost lastly, two more things. We're going to go over the red diamond. It's the sinister gossip, Bar Sinister. I'm going to read each one real quickly. Sinister Secret 16. Shade for one. I respect the power move, but come on. If I can make a meeting, anyone can. Come on, Kay. He's speaking of Kate missing a meeting. He doesn't realize she missed it because she's dead. Sinister Secret 17. Waitlisted by Jumbo. A few of my thirsty patrons quenching thirst have been quizzical about a certain quirky cue that can't quite catch his query. We hear he's planning his wardrobe. It does make the man pass his time for a fabulous cape. Sinister Secret 18. Make more mutants, they said. Now be honest. Who did they have crossing the finish line first? Probably a pretty redhead or blonde. Well, nobody got this right. This one right. Congrats to former Wild Child Stinger. Well, good luck with that baby bump. If the kid turns out interesting, bring him by Krakoa. Sinister Secret 19. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who are the grossest mutants of them all? No, not Morlocks. Don't punch down muties. Well, it's not for me to say, but keep your eyes on the swivel, and you may spot them when you think you're seeing double. And lastly, Sinister Secrets Revealed. Ugh, of course it's Fenris. Gross. You can't spell Von Strucker without the suck. If only we knew anyone on the Quiet Council to suggest growing a new Krakoa and leaving them on it. And the last thing on this issue, which I'm sure everyone was happy about, is that Lockheed is officially seen alive. So hopefully he'll go back to Krakoa soon and maybe bring Kate back to life. You know, he is a magical kind of dragon. You never know, the possibilities are endless. But that is issue 8 of Marauders.
I really hate the Von Strucker kids. They are the absolute worst. God, they suck so bad. I made this point earlier on Twitter. It was like, or no, I was talking DMs with somebody. I'm like, how hilarious that everybody hates the Von Strucker kids so much that they complain more that they're on Krakoa and not like Gorgon, you know, a guy who like, cause see. I don't even think the Fenristerns were Hydra. They just worked for their dad sometimes.
Right.
But, like, Gorgon's was literal Krakoa Hydra general. But everybody's like, ah, why do these guys have to be here? It's funny, the last time we saw them was in The Gen X by Christina Strain. One with, you know, Quentin and Jubilee and...
Oh, were they in that? Oh, they were at the party, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that's the last place we saw them.
Yeah, I think so.
Which, like, I wish it was the last place we saw them, not this.
Right?
Yeah, they're not even that interesting of a group, but maybe we'll... I know Dawn of X has been giving a lot of more personality to a lot of characters we haven't seen in a while, so maybe we'll get some more from them. Maybe we'll get something interesting.
I'm going to say something that might upset everyone.
Oh. But we know you don't like it.
No, it's that, like, I read it and I read the entire book and I read it again and I was like, I feel nothing. I like, Duggan wrote such a paint-by-numbers story that I was like, wow, this is all, like, especially, this is exactly what I expected and it's, like, not touching me or moving me in any way. The only thing, like, I actually got, like, a good laugh out of was the fact that, like, the Sinister Secrets, one of them is referring to Quentin and how Quentin can't get Jumbo Carnation to design an outfit for him, despite the fact that Quentin essentially started the riots for Jumbo.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, that's a fair point. We're all allowed to have our opinions. We all like our own books. I mean, I really did like this issue. I've liked Marauders a lot, and I feel like it brought a lot of things together, just for me personally. And I didn't mention it during my summary, but I did mention on Twitter. But one of my favorite moments is that they actually showed Bobby being a mega level mutant. Like, I mean, a lot of mutants unleash their great power through emotion anyway. A lot of it's powered by emotion. So having him know that Kate is dead just made him go haywire a little bit anyway. And I like that. We haven't been able to see Iceman just kind of let loose in a while. So that was nice to see, I think, from this book.
I mean, you have to remember that the reason we're not really seeing Bobby let loose was because of the thing that happened back in 2010 and Astonishing, when he turned into essentially Apocalypse. So he, like, a lot of the plot is related to him being afraid of losing control, but maybe it's now he's learning that anger gives him more control, because what he did on that ship was give everyone frostbite, not kill them.
Yeah.
That was so cool.
Well, he actually started using his power more in his Cinna Gray solo when he was fighting Sinister, and he created dupes of himself and then created those big ice Goliaths to fight him off. So he's been slowly amping up to, like, a higher power ever since, you know, Emma Frost unlocked his true potential. So I'm liking what I saw this issue with Bobby. I'm like, essentially, if he really wanted to, he could turn himself into a gaseous form and freeze inside of their bodies. Like, the dude's strong. He's an Omega level. It was just nice to see a little bit of it in this issue.
Also, I want to say that given an interaction with Emma and Storm, like, Emma planned for Storm and Iceman to protect Kate, right? And I want to throw back to the Fantastic Four and X issue, where Quentin was stopped going into the portal with the Cuckoos because of a psychically. What if Emma was doing the same thing to Kate? And she planned all this. I mean, I don't think she really planned for Kate to die. That's why she sent Storm and Iceman there. That's why she had such a reaction to Kate actually dying. She didn't think she would. But maybe she planned for Kate not to be able to get on Krakoa, just so she could use her and have this plan to, you know, get Shaw out and do all this so she could be more on top. You know, I think maybe this was part of her more bigger plan, but she obviously didn't plan for Kate to actually die. So now the plan's kind of going off course. But I'm thinking, since Storm and Emma had that interaction, what if they actually find that out, that, you know, Emma planned all of this? Like, what reaction is that going to have with everybody?
I don't think that's going to happen, only for the simple fact of I really think Emma actually truly cares. For example, like the way, I don't think she was lying, because if that did come out, that would make this whole scene with her apologizing to, like, Storm very disingenuous, and I don't think Emma was being disingenuous about this. I really think she cared, and I really think she just, like, it was just a screw up. I don't think Emma did this to her on purpose. Personally, I think maybe Shaw could have done this to her on purpose.
Well, yeah, I mean, Shaw killed Kate, but you can, I mean, with Emma Frost, she, in her past, she's always had more of, like, an agenda. Mm-hmm. And unless, like, when she was, like, a teacher, she didn't have that much of an agenda. She kind of gave that all away when she was a Scott and all that. But I feel like she could still care and have, like, still have a plan for herself to be on top more. You know, because she didn't really want to do this again anyway. She's like, I'm going to give it this one more chance. And I don't think she really wanted to. She's grown close to Kate and all the other X-Men. She don't really want them to die, especially in this utopia. But I think if she knew no one was going to die anyway, and she could manipulate some pieces to get what she wanted, especially if she wanted Shaw to go away, I think she would probably do that. That sounds very Emma to me, but I could be wrong.
I just kind of hope, you do make a point. She did, like, blow up a point, try to get Firestar to, like, I forgot what she was trying to get Firestar to do back in the day. But yeah, she blew up Firestar's pony, which was very dark. But yeah, this was a good issue. The Sinister secrets were more funny than actually, like, telling us a secret this time.
Yeah.
Hey, he did have that call out to Ugly John.
That's true.
So we know he might be coming back soon.
I'm pretty sure.
Don't know why, but he's coming back.
I'm pretty sure. What's his name? I think it was either Chris Robinson or Anthony Blackwood. One of the two, like, people working at Marvel, like, posted a picture of I think it was one of the, you know, one of the cast pages of the Dawn of X books with that character in it. As like a, I might have been a joke, but I don't know.
Right. But
yeah, this was definitely a very, very interesting issue. I really liked it, and I'm like that Lockheed's alive. I mean, we all saw that coming though.
Right.
I mean, we literally saw a cover where, you know, Lockheed's on Storm's shoulders as she, as they're like pushing Kate's body out to sea or whatever.
Yeah.
I just want to say that maybe Hickman is right. Maybe Hickman is right about previews and solicits. Maybe we shouldn't have them. Because I wish we didn't. Like, I like them, but also at the same time, it's also kind of like, it kind of ruins the tension and surprise. Because, like, they have to hide a lot of the covers. They have to hide, like, if a character dies in this issue, they have to hide it in the cover, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest because I'm selfish. I love I love them. Here's the thing. I'm very much like, it's very much full issue. It gives me something to get excited for. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they do it like less than a week out. So, I mean, if there's like a big issue, for example, you know, I'm going to talk about this more later, but you know, next week's X-Men isn't getting a preview. It just got like a single image with like a teaser attached to it. And so, yeah, I don't really see it much as a problem, but I get it. It's all personal preference. And if that's something Hickman doesn't like, fine. That's cool by him. I personally love them. I think they're fun. It gives me something to talk about because, you know, I do like talking. And
I feel like they're fun, but they're also, like, you know, a big spoiler. Like, just let me enjoy the moment right now. Like, let me enjoy this death for a second before I'm like, oh, never mind. 2 issues down the road, I see them back. Never mind. I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm kind of neutral about it, honestly. Like, I don't really... I see the positive and negatives about it, but I'm like, I'm not that big on spoilers. Like, I can be spoiled by something and still find so much pain and like joy in it.
He loves spoiling stuff for himself. He did.
I know. That's why I said I'm neutral about it. That's why, like, I don't mind.
Neutral. That means you like spoilers.
But I will also keep spoilers away from myself just because I'm like, oh well, I do want to kind of be surprised. But if I'm on Twitter and I haven't seen, like, the series final of a show or final of a comic book or whatever, the run, and I get spoiled on it, I'm like, oh, well, that's okay. I'll still watch. I'll still read it. It's fine.
Whatever.
Same. It's the same.
Y'all are what's wrong with comic books these days.
That's funny. I love spoilers. I have to, though, one of my best friends, she makes me promise because we would go see Star Wars movies together, and she would make me promise not to look at spoilers beforehand. I'm like, fine. I still remember before Star Wars Episode 7, I didn't even mean to. I had like avoided all spoilers for it. And I was sitting in the theater waiting for the movie to start. And what's it called? Marvel put out a tweet congratulating Star Wars on the new movie. First comment was the spoiler about Han Solo dying at the end of it.
Wow.
And I was like, no, I almost like threw my phone like a
like it's about to explode.
I was like, tried. So good. My friend's like, what's wrong? I'm like, I got spoiled. She's like, don't tell me. It was a mess. But anyways, back on, this isn't a Star Wars podcast. This is a
well, I don't know. It kind of goes with our next story, you know, being out in space.
Ah, yeah. Segue, boom.
Segue. Speaking of space, We rejoin our merry mutants out in space, the New Mutants. We're getting a recap by the king of recaps himself, Robert DaCosta. He basically sums up everything that they were going on between issue 5 and now issue 7, which is funny that he finds out that there's a whole other book happening in between theirs, with, you know, the mutants, New Mutants on Earth. So he's basically telling us how they got captured and how they got to escape thanks to Deathbird. And he had his little, he finally got his kiss from Deathbird with a punch. And then he basically summed up everything that we didn't get to see and brought us up to speed. And let's see, they rescued the orb and the ship, the Dreadnought, and renamed it Deathbird. They learned about the betrayal thanks to the little gaseous orb, which we had a funny moment with Cheyenne. How do you say her name? Cheyenne? Cheyenne.
Cheyenne? I don't know.
I always had an issue with that name. Cheyenne.
I think it may be Cheyenne.
Yeah, Cheyenne and Doug played good cop, bad cop to the gaseous orb, saying that they were going to turn him into a solid. And the last thing he wanted to do was be a solid. So he gave him all the tea on what was going on about the betrayal of someone in the Imperial Guard was going to betray Xandra. So they go back to confront the Imperial Guard about it. And there's this huge fight, which I love the fight scene because they gave us the best information page, which was the D&D sheet, where you basically had a roll for seeing who would win the battle, which was hilarious. And then finally, at this, finally the battle ends with Xandra being like, listen, what the heck is going on, guys? Why are we fighting? Then the Oracle confesses that she was supposed to be the one that betrays them. She had set up the whole thing. And instead of sentencing her to death, or vanquishing her like Gladiator wanted to do, Xandra was like, no, listen, I'm not ready to be queen. I'm not ready to be part of the Imperial Guard or anything like that. How about instead of you being killed or anything, you just become my trainer. Train me to be a warrior, because not only do I need to be a diplomat, but I need to be a badass too. So in the meantime, she's going to have her aunt Deathbird be her counselor, and then Oracle be her trainer. So once that all got resolved, the Gen Xers, Mondo and Chamber, finally were happy to get rid of the Krakoan plant and plant the gateway. So they set that all up, and we have a little shindig at Sam's house. And everyone's there celebrating, saying their goodbyes, being like, oh, now that we have a gateway here, you can come and stay with us. And they're like, oh, I'm just coming to visit. Sam has, like, his own family, his own life, and he doesn't want to leave that. So that upsets Robert, because he's like, all this was for nothing. Like, literally came here to save you and bring you back so we can be the New Mutants again. And he's like, but I am my own. I have my whole life up here. Why would I want to leave that? So what they ended up doing is Roberto decides to stay, you know. Sam convinces him to stay there and be with them. And he's like, wait, stay in space? Get into danger? Get into all these adventures? Be close to Deathbird? Sign me up. So he ends up staying there and buys the whole freaking building that Sam lives in, that Sam lives in, and just to be close to Deathbird. But in between that, we have this really cute moment between Cyclops and Gladiator, where he asks them if he can do him a favor and have him put one of the Krakoan gateways on Chandelar, which was a really cute callback to X-Men, I think, issue number 2 or 1, where Scott told, what's her name now? What's she going by?
Prestige.
Prestige, that's it. He promised Prestige that he was going to take her to see the beaches of Chandelier, which was a really cute moment, saying, like, oh, I'm being a good dad. So, basically, this was just a nice wrap-up of the space story, and pretty much essentially said, okay, these two characters are going to be out in space now. Now we're going to go on to a new story, which I think this is the last issue for a bit that Hickman's writing. I think Ed Bryson's taking lead over writing for the next few issues, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
I think so.
Yeah. Bryson is going to be the main writer. Him and his writing and Flaviano are the artists.
Nice.
So this was just essentially like Hickman having fun. This was his goodbye issue to like the mutants and the whole space story. And I, for one, really enjoyed it. It wasn't anything like major of substance. It just had a bunch of like moments, funny moments, and a bunch of like little, aww, precious moments.
God. Okay. So I don't really do the New Mutants in that, like, I'm not very attached to them as everyone else is. And it's because I haven't read the original run and I haven't read a lot of stuff with them in it. However, like that last bit where he's like, I've been in love 11, and then he looks at like Sam and he then says like, no, 12 times. And I'm like, holy shit, like these two, oh my God, how do you guys accept being baited so hard? I was right? Like sitting there like, oh my God. Like that was my that entire was really reaction. Cute.
Where they're like, oh, and he, like, they said, I love you, and he's like, that's the best feeling in the world.
It's a good issue. I really like the issue. I had, like, one issue with the issue. Why was Raheen, like, running around licking the orb?
Dude, seriously. She did it twice. When Xandra turned into an orb, she licked it, too. And I was like, girl, what's up with you and licking balls?
So I saw a theory online that says, you know, when certain people that are dead, because, you know, she did die, and they're brought back in Krakoa, they bring them back to their most, like, I guess, happiest stage of their life. So maybe this stage of the part that she's brought back on is before all of her trauma. So maybe she's just, like, more adolescent, kind of this, like, fun, I guess, maybe sexual kind of Rain. Is that how you say your name?
Rain.
Yeah. So maybe that's why she's just, like, licking the orb, because maybe she's kind of flirting in Wolf? I don't know. Like,
yeah,
maybe that's what Hickman was going for.
Yeah, because it was kind of a flirt with Xandra, which is weird, because I don't know their ages anymore. It's just so weird. They look around the same age.
Yeah.
But that image of her with that flower in her head, that's a callback to an old New Mutant issue.
The aging thing, and, like, this is sort of, like, tangentially related to, like, Karheen and us not really knowing anyone's ages, but there's a lot of gray lines to be drawn now because of, like, we really don't know anyone's canon ages anymore, and because right. they're, like, being reborn, we straight up don't know. So, like, the only gray lines are moral. Nobody has any gray hairs on Krakoa is the thing.
Right.
Unless you're Kid Cable, who never looks young.
He's actually 58.
Right? I do have to say, I'm kind of... I didn't mind this space story, but I liked... In the New Mutants whole thing, I liked it. I know this is probably an unpopular opinion with a lot of people online, because they like the space story more. But I like the Earth story more of New Mutants, and I'm glad we're getting more of that with Ed Bryson. And... I'm glad this space story is over. I liked it. It was cute. It was a nice little thing for Hickman to do. But I'm liking a lot of the New Mutants that are on Earth. I'm glad we're going to get more armor and more Boom Boom. And then Magma's going to come back in the next issue. Like, I'm excited for all of that more. I'm glad the kind of the space stuff is going away. And I have to agree that the Cyclops in Gladiator scene was my favorite part. Like, Dawn of X is making one of the things I never thought would happen. It's actually making me like Cyclops, because it's actually making Cyclops like a better teammate and a better father, which I'm like, that's great, because he sucked for a while, at least in my
well,
opinion.
Well, let's wait till his ex-wife shows up before we get all excited about that.
That's true.
Okay. Any other further comments on New Mutants? I mean, my one thing is like, oh, I kind of predicted Bobby staying in space. I saw it coming. Yay! I'm right about some things for once. Woo! But no, I liked this issue. I thought it was a great ending. I'm sad we're not going to have Rod Reyes on art anymore, because I really do love his art.
Right.
It's very, what's his name? The guy who did Ben. The Mutants before, and he's super famous.
Yeah, Ben Schwartz, something like that.
Sienkiewicz.
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, his art, very, very reminiscent of that. But I'm excited. Like, I know a lot of people haven't liked the Earth issues of New Mutants. I personally really like them because I like armor. I like Glob.
Right.
Exactly. But the only reason Glob, too.
Yeah. Ed Brisson wanted me to like Glob.
His love for Glob, man.
Yeah.
He forced me into that. I'm still.
We were all like. Put into a headlock.
Right.
By Ed Brisson, and he was like, you guys are going to like Glob, whether you like it or not.
I already came into it loving him, so every time he writes them, I'm like, yes, give my boy some more moments.
He's such a cute character.
But what I did find interesting from this issue is this essentially got rid of two of their dominant male leads, who's also, like, both of them have been the leaders of the New Mutants. So now I'm like, okay, cool. We got rid of them. Who's going to be the new leader?
My guess it's gonna be what's her name? Danny. Danny's gonna be the new leader.
Yeah.
One thing I'm interested to see is how this tie in. Maybe I'm guessing because I don't think it's not the X-Men issue that comes out, but an X-Men issue that comes out in 2 weeks from now is it's gonna be the New Mutants X-Men tie in with the Shi'ar coming.
Yeah, with Empire?
Yes. No, it's not Empire. It's not an Empire tie-in. But it's going to be... So I'm guessing, like, not this week's, but the 2 weeks from now issue takes place, like, right as them coming out of the gate.
Oh.
I don't know. Of New Mutants? At the end of New Mutants? Who knows? Who knows how that's going to work? Because it looked like the Starjammers are going to come back. And so it's going to be interesting, the timing that, you know... Hickman timed this to have them come out of space now,
right
before, you know, their new issue starts, and it's gonna be a New Mutants team up. But yeah, that's my. I'm excited because like this was great, and I like this. I think it was great. I think Bobby was written a little weird. Like I don't know how much I really like his like Deadpool esque thing going
right.
But yeah, that's just well, about this, it.
The book was both very fourth wall breaking too, because you know, even the moment that he had with Danny, and the first few pages where they were both talking about, there's another issue, there's another book. So yeah. That was interesting. I was like, oh, okay. It reminded me of like old school previously on the X-Men,
yeah. But
like a funny version of that.
That's true. I think we should go on to Wolverine now because we yes. are a little bit strapped for time, and that is a big book.
Okay, so,
thick boy.
Okay, so I know we're running out of time, and, this is also a big book, but I did get to meet both Percy and Adam Kubert last night. They're both very nice people.
Yay.
Percy held up the line because he kept talking to everyone, and he asked me what was on my shirt. And I was wearing my Impeach President Hodge shirt. And I was like, we're all making bets on what's going to happen in Dawn of X. And I'm betting really hard on President Cameron Hodge. And he laughed at me. And I'm like, I know I'm wrong. But now I'm like, I have to push through. I can't stop, like, pushing the Cameron Hodge agenda. So, Wolverine. It's two stories in one. It's 80 pages. The first story is about the drug cartel. And so apparently it starts off with Wolverine looking for the pale lady who apparently causes hallucinations. So the first couple of scenes the first scene in the book is him going over his like going around his dead teammates trying to go look for the pale lady. And then it goes into a flashback where Wolverine is trying to play hide and seek with like the mutants on Krakoa, and then he goes to meet Kitty on the ship where they talk, and they're talking about how their life on Krakoa has changed and how he's finally happy, but he's like, things are still gonna happen. And then we switch to like this noir detective story. I feel like most of this issue is very noir detective story, where this detective whose name I cannot remember is looking at mutilated and dead bodies, and he finds this pollen, which is essentially the new illegal drug, and it's made by the flower cartel, but it's made from a pollen on Krakoa. And then we go to where the Church of X is, Order of X, where these people worship mutants, and they also use the pollen to like enhance their powers, because apparently pollen is a drug that enhances your powers, even if you have a base level of just being a human. And we get this really good scene where like Quentin is like, yes, this is what I want in my entire life, and then he jumps into the crowd and they try to rip him apart, and he's like, no, actually I hate this, and they end up killing the entire Order of X because they've been essentially altered by the pollen, so they try to just like hold the fort down there. And then you have this and then apparently they also think that drinking the blood of mutants will also make them some kind of like Crimea or hybrid that would make them stronger. And then we cut back into Wolverine looking for the cartel who's been supplying the drugs. And apparently, there's a woman called the Pale Lady who Wolverine is looking for, and apparently does also find that has been, like... Sorry, the pale girl, not Pale Lady. Apparently, she was the one who's been causing, like, hallucinations, and also, she's been running the drug cartel. And at the end of the book, you have, like... You have Wolverine, like, on the floor, kind of, like, desperate because he doesn't know who he is or what he's doing because he just killed his teammates, or at least he thinks he just killed his teammates. And the pale lady and the pale girl is kind of implied to be playing with his mind. That was a lot. So now let's move on to part two, which is my preferred story of the book.
Because imagine I love vampires.
So this one's more about... vampires instead of the drug cartel. I'm assuming that the drug cartel is going to be like the secondary plot, or it's setting up for something else. Because I'm thinking the Omega plot, the Omega Red plot, is going to be the main plot, because that's what we see on the later covers of Wolverine.
And X-Force.
So, of course, the two books are going to be connected. Like, they're both first these books, you know? So we have Omega Red coming on Krakoa, and he's covered in blood. And apparently, Wolverine tries to attack him, but Magneto stops him and is like, go see what happened. He's covered in blood, but we don't know why. So when he goes to check out what happened, there are people, like, he finds people dying. And then... he realizes that, like, he and Omega Red are essentially, like, he has, like, this philosophical, like, waxing about, like, how he and Omega Red are, like, the same side of they're the opposite sides of the same coin. There we go. That's the saying. And then they continue talking, with Magneto about Omega Red. And then he decides to go back to Paris and check out what's going on. And we get, like, this scene where Logan is, given a bunch of flowers by a girl, and she's like, keep them. And we later learn on that this girl is like a vampire hunter who just wanted to give this to him so that like so that you could check out that he wasn't a vampire. And so Logan essentially walks into the vampire club and gets drugged, and then he gets hung up, and the vampires try to drink his blood or kill him. But then he's saved by the lady, whose name I forget, and I apologize for that. because I don't think she tells him his name, but I'm pretty sure it's very French. I apologize. I do like this book. It's just that the story is, there's so much story. And then after that, they kind of talk back and forth about the vampire hunting, etc. I'm trying to like think about like what parts I should leave out and what parts I should keep. And so they try to go hunt some vampires underneath in the catacombs, but then they kind of get stuck. And I'll also them attack Wolverine to drink his blood, because that's what all they wanted to do. They wanted to drink his blood. And at the end of the chapter, we see Omega Red had made like a pact with Dracula so that he could live freely. But this is just as long as Dracula could get access to Wolverine's blood. And then we have like this really interesting page at the end, which I was super excited for. I was reading it and I was like, yes, this is a, like that was, that's, this is my infographic of the week, the blood work page. I really like it. I like how he like explains how Wolverine's blood is kind of different, but doesn't really, but nobody like really, like he gave it just enough like scientific backing, like just enough for me to be satisfied with it. I'm very happy with like this blood work page is all like I have to say, but that's what happened in Wolverine. I apologize for talking for so long. I feel like I talked for 10 minutes.
No, it's an 80-page comic. It's a big boy. You got to talk about it.
Yeah. No, this book was really interesting. Like, I feel like there was so many different emotional beats in it. Like, you know, there you had your action, you had your bleeding moments, you had your anger moments, you had your, oh no, he's in peril moments. And then you had, like, the quiet moments, like him and, like, Kitty sitting down and at the bar or on the boat and talking about, you know, Wolverine being happy. But, and I love how, like, there's that scene. And then at the end, you're like, eh, not so happy.
Okay. Speaking of Kate, where does this take place on the timeline? Like, she keeps showing up in other books.
Boy, who knows? It's timey-wimey stuff. I don't get it anymore.
She's in her uniform, so I'm guessing, like, before she becomes, like, the Red... What is she? Red Queen? Like, officially the Red Queen? Like, right before, probably.
Huh. So...
Yeah.
And I'm taking bets that the X-Men are... The X-Force that he took with him are not dead. That was just a hallucination.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was just a horror dream that he had.
You know, him and his very, nightmares.
It was very old man Logan-esque.
Right.
Yeah.
But, one other thing that made me sad and I was not expecting is that father and his daughter, you know, the cop and his daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, that like, story,
I
man.
Was like, oh, way to just, like, shoot me right in the heart there, Percy. Gosh, man. Very unnecessary. Rude. Rude. But, the book was great. Like, there's not really much to talk about as, like, it's not, I mean, it didn't reveal, like, a lot, like, tons of new secrets.
Right.
But, like, it was cool. Like, it teased a new enemy. We got a potential X-Men versus Vampires Part 2 coming. Like, did anybody read the first X-Men versus, like, the X-Men versus Vampires event they did where, like, Curse of the Mutants?
I'm currently reading it. I actually just read Apocalypse versus Dracula.
Yeah.
And that book is insane. The history in it.
The X-Men versus Vampire event, it was the first event post when I started reading X-Men with Second Coming, because it takes place like right after that, and wild. That event was wild. I like that they're doing it again. I don't want it to be a big crossover. I just want it to be like maybe like an Wolverine and an X-Force like crossover. But like, Jesus Christ, that was a crazy book.
Yeah.
And I honestly kind of hope that Blade makes an appearance, too, just out of the blue. Because, I mean, it's vampires. Blade kind of has to.
Blade's and like, I'm here, too.
Yeah. I want him to see how he's going to react to, like, what he thinks about Krakoa. Because he does not
care.
Yeah, he's very straightforward and blunt. He's like, just don't bother me.
Yeah, so I'm like, what is his opinion on that? I don't know. I don't know if he would even have an opinion. He might not even care. So... Yeah.
I have to say that some of the bits of the book dragged on for a little while. I was like, we could get this over with a little bit, like, we could condense this into a 60-page book rather than an 80-page book. Mm-hmm. That's how I felt sometimes while reading it. I felt overall like the two stories were very solid stories. I just don't know if they both should have been in the first issue of Wolverine and not had, like, because I'm assuming they're both setting up something in the future, but as we see, like, the Omega Red one is the plot that's more important than the Vampire one, but, like, I'm not sure if it should have been, like, two separate stories rather than one continuous story.
Right.
I don't know, that's just, like, my feeling about it.
I feel like they were trying to do that contrast of, like, oh, you see him so happy, he's happy in Krakoa now, you know, but then he's doing the whole, you can't be too happy, you gotta keep your senses and your wits about you, and then, you know, then you get your Omega Red story that's, like, testing everything that he thinks, you know, this is why I shouldn't have left my guard down, this is why we shouldn't let people like him here, you know?
I do really like the fact that they, that Percy introduced the vampires again.
Because
it's been a while since we've had any vampire action, and I know all the people didn't like the first X-Men versus vampires, but I don't think this is gonna be like, it's gonna be like an event like that where it's like a versus. I think it's gonna be actually more like plot oriented.
Right. Well, what's interesting right now is that there's a lot of vampire action going on at Marvel right now. You have your Morbius story. You have the Avengers actually dealing with the vampire stuff. You have it in Strike Force, and now you have it here in the X-Men story. I'm like, okay, let's bring back the vampires as a big threat in the Marvel universe.
It's also great because that means
your time. Sorry.
No, I was just going to be, it's just, I'm just going to be quick about this. I'm actually, like, excited because if vampires are back, that means Shikla is back. Because she's married to Dracula.
Oh, there you go.
So, yeah. Sorry, you could continue on. That was, like, an off-target comment. I'm sorry, Fox.
I'm just saying I'm interested. It's cool that they're tying. I was really surprised that they're tying into what Aaron's doing in what's it called?
Avengers.
But Jason Aaron and Hickman are friends, so I'm guessing that's probably why it's not, like, too off limits, being like, hey, can I use your thing? He's like, sure.
Yeah.
But,
also,
go ahead.
Okay. Oh, I think it was interesting because after reading the Apocalypse and Dracula story, how, like, interlinked these two have been, like, the mutants and the vampires have been, because in that story, you know, they were drinking Apocalypse's blood and also controlling him because they bit him. So Dracula's blood is inside Apocalypse. So I'm wondering if that's going to come back and do something. And also the whole story about, like, you know, what's his name? Osmodian? Mm-hmm. Like,
yes,
Apocalypse
Osmodius.
Dude. Yeah. I wonder if he's going to ever come back into this story because he was the one that foretold all the vampire stuff, so I'm like, I wonder if he's going to come out of the shadows again.
Well, yeah, he's like a precog, and precogs aren't allowed on Krakoa.
Oh, that's right.
Never so mind. I'm like, he has to know Moira is alive. You know? Like, he has to know, or else he wouldn't have let Ozymandias stay dead.
Okay, I think it's we're still a little cramped on time right now. We're coming in at the... We still have about 25 minutes left, so if does anybody else have anything they want to say?
No, go ahead. No, we're good.
Yeah.
Okay, so, well, I'm going to quickly go over Marvel Voices, because it wasn't exactly a Dawn of X book, but it had a lot of X-Men content in it, not surprisingly, but there were some really great stories, and there was a really great one-page Emma story where it's her discussing, like, her loyalty to not just X-Men or, like, the Hellfire Club, to mutant in general, which was really sweet. There was a really sad Wolverine story written by Method Man, of all people.
Oh, man, yeah, that was harsh.
Yeah, that was basically saying, like, Wolverine wanted to die at some point. He was like, hey, why won't death take me? Which is, like, okay, that's really heartbreaking. I'm gonna take that now. I'm gonna second time crying from an X-Men book today. There was a really surprising, we had, Wolverine versus Immortal Hulk, which is something I expected to be, a bigger, event. Because right. Immortal Hulk's a big thing, Dawn of X is a big thing. Like, I would read an entire series about the X-Men versus Immortal Hulk, because Hulk's kind of doing whatever the fricky-frack he wants right now. He's kind of just going, marching around the Marvel Universe, kind of, making everybody look like chumps.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was really great. Wolverine battled the Immortal Hulk, because Hulk was, blocking a gate in Madripoor, and he waited until daytime when Hulk, left, and Wolverine just killed Banner, knowing he would heal again when night came. He's like, I'm gonna get you off Madripoor now. It was done by the creative team of what's it called, Bitterroot. It's a really great Image comic if anybody wants to read it. It's about monster hunters during the civil rights movement.
What's that one called?
Bitterroot.
Oh yes, I've been meaning to pick that up. That looks cool.
Yeah, that's the exact same creative team that did that. That's awesome. I'm surprised it wasn't a bigger story, but that's neither here nor there. But the big story that I think we all should talk about is the race story with Vida Ayala and Bernard Chang.
And yes,
it was a super fun. It wasn't even that serious of a story. It was just fun, wacky racers story, and taught about teamwork and good sportsmanship and yada yada, and it was fun. We got to see, how Krakoa would interact with Wakanda more. And it seems like they're not really antagonists. They're just like, hey, we're awesome, you're awesome, let's do cool stuff. Right. We're not, together, but, let's just be us. And then we got... And then at the very end, we've got Forge, turns around. He's like, hey, Mr., Forge, we're your biggest fans. And it's so clearly the kids from Children of the Atom.
Yeah.
It's so clearly them. And, nobody said, nobody from Marvel has, straight up said, yo, this is the kids from Children of the Atom. But, we so know it is. It looks so much like them.
I just want to say one thing. They are, I'm pretty sure they're Children of the Atom. However, they look a lot younger than the Children of the Atom we see on the covers.
Right.
True.
So I'm wondering if there's, an age, there's a age skip or something in Children of the Atom. I don't know. I feel like the ages don't match up as a thing.
I just personally don't think that, a lot of comic artists are really good at keeping ages, correct? when they're drawing.
Right.
For example, one of my favorite characters at DC right now, Naomi, she looks so young and, teenager-esque in her solo series, but when she, shows up in other books and other artists draw her, she looks like an adult, and I'm just like, this is weird, but yeah. Okay.
But wasn't this the same creative team that that's going to do Children of the Atom?
Yes. So we're probably going to see these kids look like that in that book too. But that was just also side note. This isn't X-Men related, but oh man, that superhero queer pride festival.
Oh my! It was superhero X-Men related because Shade was there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And Bobby was also there.
Bobby was there. So many X-Men was there, so it counts.
Yes.
Shout out to my friend Luciano Vecchio, who He's wrote amazing. Through it. And it was so beautiful, and he included real, trans activists in it. And, it was just so good. It was such a perfect, and it was just one page, and I liked it.
Yeah.
And it was and I liked it more than any other book that came out this week.
Honestly, I mean, it was the thing of the week for me. It made me so happy when I read that in the morning. It made my whole day.
Oh, no, it was so good.
Thing is, it's like, wow, look what you could do if you just gave someone the opportunity that's a queer person to write queer characters and just being queer. Yeah. And it was such a touching moment.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, that's really all I gotta talk about Marvel Voices. It's not technically a Dawn of X book, but it might as well be. I think now we can go on to the news of the week, which I will discuss. We didn't really get a whole bunch. I mean, we got solicits and we got some cool covers. The covers really didn't tell us much other than X-Force and Wolverine are gonna be sort of tying into each other because And for the May issues, Omega Red is on both covers. We got confirmation that May's issue of X-Men is going to be an Empire tie-in. But that isn't all that X-Men will be tying into Empire. Apparently, there is a 4-issue limited series of Empire X-Men, so that racks up 6 issues of X-Men tying into Empire.
Nice.
And the X-Men Empire 4-issue limited series will be, it looks, sounds like an anthology series by the way they're doing it, that it's going to have like multiple creators, and it's going to have like every creator from the Dawn of X books writing their own mini story.
Nice. That's cool.
And they're going to be like battling like plant zombies that are going to be doing whatever. But yeah, that's about it for news. And then previews, we got New Mutants, and Magma's back. Magma takes some. Magma takes armor and Boom Boom, who doesn't want to be there, to Nova Roma, the weird Roman settlement in the middle of the rainforest, which is weird. We got a preview for X-Force, which I don't know if anybody saw it. It kind of like got stealth released, where it has the reverse Domino, like, is about to kill a dignitary, and like Domino stops.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't send that in the chat. I completely forgot.
Oh, no worries. That's cool. They're giving him more of a story.
Yeah. What else do we get? We got Fantastic Four X-Men, and things are still escalating, and I'm still very anxious about the discourse around this.
Man, yeah, they're giving Sue some moments.
Yeah. Another thing is we got New Mutants, Fantastic Four X-Men, X-Force. There was one. Oh, and Jean Grey Emma Frost, which is going to be a big book of the week, which is going to be, and it looks like these two little kids are flying over Krakoa, and they discover something, and that's where it cuts out. And they look afraid of it. And it's really gorgeous because it's Russell Dodderman drawing, and he draws everything very, very pretty. And then finally, this isn't exactly a preview, but we got like a little two-page thing, like a two-panel thing for X-Men, the next issue of X-Men, which is, it says, oh, the Crucible today, are you going to be there? And of Scott drinking something, I'm going to say soup because that's the joke. That's it. And that's really all the previews for the week. What's everybody most excited for next week?
I'm excited for mostly the Emma and Jean giant size. I've been looking forward for that for months now. And I'm so excited that we're going to get that next week. Finally, it's been forever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm so hyped for that. And, another piece of news I forgot, just really speaking of giant size, the final issue of giant size coming out in June will be Storm, which is, I'm very excited.
Yep. Well, it's funny, that one ties into this story. This story, the giant size with Emma and Jean, sets up her solo for next one.
Yeah, that's pretty much the haps. I'm most excited for either X-Men or giant size. Because I'm not excited for Fantastic... Oh, I am excited for Fantastic Four X-Men. I don't want to deal with that discourse anymore.
Yeah, that discourse is toxic.
The previews are already make it already bad enough. But, yeah. I mean, it was a good week. Almas, what are you most excited for?
I'd personally say I'm excited for New Mutants and X-Force. I'm just, like, not really excited for the Emma Frost and Jean Grey giant-sized. Because I haven't really liked how Hickman was writing Jean and Emma and their interactions. A lot of them feel very, I've never heard two women talk before. That's like fair. A very bold opinion for me to say.
Okay. That's fair. I mean, I can understand that, honestly speaking. But I'm excited. I'm mainly excited for the art because it's, again, Russell Dodderman, and he draws everything very, very well. I just hope
this was his idea too. This was Dodderman's idea too to do this story. He wanted to do a callback to the, what was it? X-Men, the new X-Men, the Quiet issue with Emma and Jean inside the astral, not the astral plane, it's like Cassandra Nova's brain. Mm-hmm. So this should be interesting to see how they do this.
Yeah. Anybody else got anything they want to talk about? I'm a little strapped for time right now myself.
I'm excited for X-Men number 7. This is the issue I've been waiting for. This is Nightcrawler. This is Apocalypse. This has all to do about the resurrections. And do resurrected people have souls? This is a topic that I've really, had near and dear to my heart with all this resurrection happening. Do they lose pieces of themselves? That's what I want to know.
It's all very important. So I'm going to... Anybody have anything else they want to talk about?
I think we're good.
Buy all the X-Men toys so they can give us more.
Yeah. Also, we want to let everybody know that on Friday in the upcoming week, there's a big X-Men panel that's going to be taking
place right.
from 2:30 to 3:30 on Central Standard Time. So I don't know who's listening or where you're listening, but try to figure out when that is, because it apparently Hickman says the big summer story is going to be teased in that. And my name is Fox. You can find me at AgentFit777 on Twitter.
I am Juan. You can find me at Chongo, ATX, on all the socials.
I'm Almas, and I'm on Worthington's on Twitter.
I'm Rodders, and I am at Rob Bunny Slay on Twitter. And thank you for being in our habitat.
Actually, before we say bye, sorry. We're on Twitter, the four of us. We run the Docs Book Chat Twitter, and we're playing bingo there. So make your bingo card at the Senate, and then, I don't know, if you finish your bingo card, I'll send you something. But you have to be honest, and you have to be very honest with me.
You can start submitting. I'll draw you something tonight.
We'll do something for you, but you have to submit them by the end of next week.
You heard
the lady. On the 28th. We have a template. Everybody. Okay, right, now everybody. We can say bye.
Yes, now. Everybody have a great week, and thanks for staying in our habitat. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.